We are back again here on DeadPit.com. I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And we have the interview everyone has been raving about. They want to hear it. The Felissa Rose interview.
That's right. That's Angela from Sleepaway Camp, from the upcoming Dante Tomaselli films.
She's in all kinds of stuff. And she is later on the show.
That's right. Felissa Rose.
The exclusive interview. In addition to that, though, we also have news on the Friday the 13th prequel slash sequel slash they don't know what it is.
News on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel, which will be shitty.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And we got a little film called Homesick, which is going to have Tiffany Shepis and Bill Moseley.
And also the new Guillermo del Toro film.
Yeah, and along with a bunch of new DVDs that's going to be coming out, and we're going to have some DVDs that we're going to review, such as Long Weekend from Synapse Films.
Sinners and Saints.
And a little film called Cyclops, which is a little out there. And I also got a film from a friend of ours, Brett Kelly, The Bone Setter.
And I'm going to end with a lovely little film that also has Tiffany Shepis in it called Corpses.
We love Tiffany Shepis.
We do.
But we're going to get started. And I have some great news here from a little DVD company. I wanted to start off with this because this is, I found this out yesterday, from Code Red DVD. Okay, it's a little company that's starting out that's getting, you know, the rights to all these little independent films that we all like from back in the 80s.
They're coming out with one that I really love called Don't Go Into the Woods.
That's what I was going to talk about, yeah. The upcoming DVD of the 80s cult classic Don't Go in the Woods from Code Red DVD is going to be packed with some pretty unbelievable extras. First of all, a documentary on the film set at 58 minutes has interviews with 8 of the actors as well as a musician, director of photography, writer, and many, many more. And director James Bryan himself drove across the country pretty much to interview these people personally. And he, you know, he made the new documentary on the film. But aside from that, Code Red also has a commentary track with James Bryan and CKY frontman Darren Miller. Actually, he's a huge fan of the film. Mm-hmm. And he recorded a commentary too. And there's also extra TV footage from when the film was first released that they're including on that. And it sounds badass.
It does. And
I mean, you would never... Usually, DVD companies, they don't show films like that respect. They deserve it.
They don't. And that's one of those films that's really obscure and that I don't ever think it even had a cult following, let alone, like, you know.
Yeah.
But mainstream following.
Another film they're releasing, too, is one that I've always enjoyed. It's called The Forest. And Don Jones, who's the director, and Gary Kent recorded the commentary for that DVD. Hmm. But Code Red DVD has many, many more DVDs and that they're planning on releasing, and you can check that out at coderedDVD.com.
Well, all right. And now, on the more DVD news front, and we've talked about these DVDs before, but they've released some additional specs for some of these.
Right.
The new Tim Sullivan DVD, 2001 Maniacs, will be released by Lionsgate March 28th. They've also got two new announcements from Anchor Bay. And I've already mentioned this once, but I figure it's worth mentioning again, that Bad Dreams, the Jennifer Rubin classic epic film from the 80s, they released April 18th. And also, The Cemetery Man, which is a film that we've actually heard about for a long time.
Yeah, and I've actually never seen it. I won't admit I've never seen the film.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but, you know, we've always wanted to see it.
But it's a zombie movie, and I can guarantee you that I will see it.
And Anchor Bay is going to release that June 13th, and it's, it goes by another name, Delamore. That's the Italian name, I guess.
Delamore.
But, yeah, that's it actually had Rupert Everett in it, which is kind of hard to imagine. He was...
Yeah, well, was he in That Thing You Do?
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's kind of bizarre. But anyway, there's some more DVD releases that will be coming up soon.
Yeah, also, that was on March 28th, you mentioned the... what was the DVD? 2000 Maniacs?
Yep, March 28th.
Also, March 28th is going to be the first release of the new King Kong movie on DVD.
Oh, Lord God. Them Peter Jackson marks will be coming out of the woodwork.
The single edition will arrive with an anamorphic transfer, Dolby Digital 5.1 audio, extras. There's going to be slim extras because I believe there's going to be an extended version that's going to be out later in the year. So it'll be more like, you know, the Lord of the Rings extended stuff was, I'm guessing.
Bad God. Hobbits are gay. I just want to say that.
Yo, gay!
I just want to mention that fact. I'm not a big
it's
fan.
It's Peter Jackson. Give him some respect.
I will give him respect for, you know, bad taste and Dead Alive, but that's all the time I'm going to give him respect for. Okay.
I haven't seen King Kong, so I don't know about it. I know it's too long to sit through in theaters. Yeah, I didn't know that.
3 hours is way too damn long to sit through anything in a theater.
And even though I sort of like the Lord of the Rings movies, I never watched any of them in theaters because I'm not sitting in theaters for over 3 hours.
That's right, buddy, and I ain't either because I don't even like them movies. Okay. Now, on to other news, though. They've actually got the website up for the new Creepshow 3 movie, and they've actually got teasers.
Oh, God, yeah, I've got that on here, too.
Well, that's shitty.
Did you see it?
I did. Oh, let me just explain something to anybody. And if you want to go on the website, I'm just going to give it to you, but I don't know. Don't waste your time. But it's www.creepshow3.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they've actually got, like, teaser trailers up from a couple
from different
segments. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
One of them being one called Alice. And I just want to say.
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
They should just really have stopped it. I don't even know if they should have stopped it. One, but two was all right. But for the love of God, there's no sense to make shit like this.
Well, two holds a special place in my heart because I actually saw it before the original. But part three looks like it was shot on a goddamn camcorder.
It does. It looks like, it really does look like something like back from the 80s, you know, J.R. Bookwalter was shooting movies on his, like, on literally a camcorder. But,
and, you know, with all respect to, you know, Bookwalter, he wasn't taking a name of the film. That was his movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How these guys, they pay Richard Rubenstein off to use that name just to try to, you know, convince people that they're actually going to make a movie that's going to be worth a shit. Trust me on this, folks. Don't go see Creepshow 3. Don't buy it. You know, I'm sure Anchor Bay will release it like they released the Day of the Dead Contagion pile of shit. Don't buy it. Don't support this stuff because the people who are making the money on this aren't the people you think. Romero doesn't have anything to do with Day of the Dead 2 or Creepshow 3, so avoid both of those movies.
As a matter of fact, don't ever mention that movie again because I don't think I probably will.
Yeah. Creepshow 3 is banned from this show from now on. But there is a film that I saw the preview for today, and I was amazed by it. Number one reason, because it has Tiffany Shepis in it, but it also has Bill Moseley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually two of my favorite actors. And the film is about a maniac with a suitcase full of razor blades who unleashes a superhuman killer upon a group of kids in a small Alabama town. They must take up arms with an insane, chilly enthusiast if they want to survive. And this film was directed by Adam Wingard and produced and written by Evan Katz, who's also the producer of the new Tobe Hooper film, Mortuary. Homesick is being distributed by Synapse Films, and you can probably find more information up at synapsefilms.com about that. I saw the trailer for it, and it looked freaking awesome. I'll say that.
I just want to say that if you don't know who Tiffany Shepis is, she's been in movies like, I don't know, she's been in a movie called Detour, and she was in
The Hazing.
She was in The Hazing, yeah, which is one of my favorites.
She was in Scarecrow, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's another masterpiece right there. And she's in the movie that I'm going to review, Corpses, and she's been in, you know, over 30 different movies, mostly all horror. But she's
and that's
one of
all
the,
that's all she needs to be in.
Yeah, she's one of the best horror actors out there right now, I think.
Yeah, and it's good to see Bill Moseley in something else.
Yeah, besides shit directed by Rob Zombie at this point. Yeah. It really is.
Because he's I always thought he was a really good actor.
But anyway, here's some more bullshit video game related / zombie news related, you know, movie. I don't know what you'd call this. They got new pictures from the Silent Hill movie, which, and, you know, the website is up and everything.
Yeah.
I've never actually played this video game because I haven't played video games since I was about 16,
the last system I had is the N64.
That was probably the last. Well, no, I had a PlayStation. I'll take that back.
PlayStation
anyway,
Part 2.
There's a frigging character in this movie, and I've seen the pictures of it called Pyramid Head. And it's like,
I saw it.
A frigging alien, and it literally has like a pyramid, like metal pyramid for a fucking head. What is this shit? And why are people making moves like
this? I don't know about you, but just thinking of somebody with a pyramid head.
That's scary. It frightens me.
It really does.
I can't go to sleep tonight.
I mean, my underwear is going to be full of shit when I see that.
I can't hardly stand up right now. Yeah. I mean, I've already pissed myself and shit all over the place talking about it. I just want to, that's all I really wanted to mention about that was like, that's the stupidest idea for a fucking movie that I've heard since. So I don't, probably House of the Dead.
Yeah. Okay. We have Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel information. If you want to hear it, I don't know if anybody does or not, but just for comedic sake, I'll read you what this is supposed, what they've conjured up for this movie. The prequel, which takes place in 1969, 5 years before the original was set, and this isn't the original, this is the original remake, I guess they're talking about,
uh-huh.
Chronicles the origins of the Hewitts. In case you don't know, they renamed the Sawyers the Hewitts because Jennifer Love Hewitt is just scarier than hell, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's it.
The Chronicles the origins of the Hewitts, Mutual Psychosis. As the conflict in Vietnam reaches epic proportions, an 18-year-old Dean Hill is about to be drafted. His brother, who's in the Marine Corps, has already done some time in the war, decides to take Dean on one last fandango through the rural Texas with their girlfriends before they head off to battle. Little do they know that the fate that awaits them in the home front is significantly worse. They're lambs to the slaughter either way. Oh, God.
There's nothing worse than a fucking horror movie that's a prequel to a remake that actually has to have a plot like that in it.
Yeah.
It's bad enough that you have to bring fuckers out like, you know, Andrew Bernarski on us and stuff.
One interesting point, though. We do have a soundbite from somebody that's in the prequel, and we're going to play that a little bit later. But in all honesty, man, what made the original Texas Chainsaw, and everybody knows this, what made it so great is you didn't know much. You didn't know anything hardly about the characters. You didn't have to
know. You didn't
want to
know. I mean, I didn't want a backstory about how they got to be the way they did. I just enjoyed the fact there were some crazy sons of bitches. Who cares?
And here's something else that really freaking, I just thought this was hilarious. That Andrew Bernowski, however you pronounce his name, whose status as the new Leatherface was kept a secret from the press prior to the remake's release in 2003 because, hey, if you didn't know it was Andrew Bernowski, you know, I don't know. Is only too happy to get his 2 cents this time around. He said this will be the definitive chainsaw movie.
That statement right there alone in itself is just makes me hate that guy. As if I didn't hate the movie enough before, I really do.
He said it is the definitive chainsaw movie.
It is, if you're, I don't know, a mongoloid or retarded.
Yeah. Which would include a lot of people around here where we live, actually.
That's true. There's quite a lot.
So that movie will make a lot of money in Kentucky, I'm sure. But, yeah. South African-born director Jonathan Liebesman, who did Darkness Falls, folks. I mean, he did such a great job on that movie.
Yeah, I mean,
we just want to congratulate him. And while we're at it, let's let him direct the new Friday the 13th film.
Well, he's going to. And not only that, but I'm thinking he's directing the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre film, isn't he?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. He's directing.
He directed Darkness Falls. He's directing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel. And up next, the Friday the 13th remake slash sequel slash reimagining. I hate that. Reimagining. Jesus.
If all you have to go on is Darkness Falls to go by like his work, then those things are just doomed to be fucking horrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more scary to me than a tooth fairy. I just want to tell you that.
I mean, that was a horrible fucking plot, horrible acting, and like a horrible movie altogether.
Yeah, let's just say mainstream horror is pretty horrible.
It is. It's probably the worst now than I've ever like known it to be at this point. Because the stuff that they try to come up with that's original is actually worse than most of the remakes. It's a bad thing. Just look at Hostel. Or don't, really, depending on how you look at it. Anyway.
But there's a rumor going around, too, that Andrew Bernowski is going to be the new Jason.
I've heard him on his, like, website, he's mentioned something about he's in, like, the front of the running to be the new.
And in all honesty, I really didn't have anything against that Andrew, whatever, until he said that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel will be the definitive Chainsaw movie. Yeah. When you say something like that, you're going to piss me off.
I'm sure that he really doesn't care about pissing us off.
I'm sure he doesn't, but I'm saying.
But the fact is that he probably pissed a lot more people off than he even like really realizes because, mm-hmm. you know, the part one and part two of that movie, even part three is better than that damn remake I ever thought about being.
Hell yeah, it is.
I could sit there and watch part three five times before I'd ever watch that remake again.
Because, in all honesty, part three, as far as the sequels go, well, it wasn't as bad as part four. But it wasn't that great of a movie, honestly.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, it's cool to watch every once in a while. But comparing even part four to that remake, it's like comparing like ice cream to horse manure from Bobby Heenan and things like that.
It is. It's like comparing piss with shit. Just didn't hold up.
Shit's a little bit more shittier than piss. I guess you can say that. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
What other news do we have? There's not a lot of news going on, really. I mean.
Yeah, we're really struggling here, in case you didn't know. All right. There's been some people recently talking about this on a lot of different message boards about the Day of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
Most of them have been bitching about it. Okay. The only thing good I can say about this movie is that Steve Miner is the director of the movie, okay? And so it has a slim chance to be a fairly decent movie. There's no remake that's ever going to be as good as the original movie.
And we will say this, that it takes a lot to fuck up a zombie movie.
It does.
It takes somebody like Uwe Boll,
It really does take a lot to screw up
I mean, especially if you're a really hardcore zombie fan, because...
Well, it's been done, but...
Yeah, I mean, we even liked the House of the Dead sequel. I mean, it was okay. I mean, I could watch it. But the Day of the Dead remake, I don't know. If they stuck with the same people that, you know, did the Dawn of the Dead remake, I would be a little bit, you know, higher up for it. Because I thought the Dawn of the Dead remake was pretty good.
Well, when we talk about remakes, the only thing we have to go by really... is the directors, which is why we think the Hills Have Eyes remake might be decent, because it's the same guy that directed High Tension.
Yeah.
You know. So, if Steve Miner's track record is any indication, then it should be at least a watchable movie, if nothing else.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, yeah.
At least Steve Miner does have some good horror movies under his belt. I mean, you can look at Friday the 13th 2 and 3, and he did House. He's done tons of, you know, freaking all kinds of other movies. Halloween, H2O.
Mm-hmm. All those movies I thought that you just mentioned were awesome, so I don't know, you know. Like I said, everybody always trashes remakes, and I understand why, but that's all that's coming out right now. So you might as well try to find at least the best one out of the pack of shit, and, you know, watch that.
Another thing I guess we can mention, too, if you go on the deadpit.com message board, D.T. Carney, who we had on last week, I have some pictures posted on there. From this week, I believe, he was filming scenes from Dust to Dust, a new film that he's got out. And you can check out those pictures on our message board over on deadpit.com. But we're going to take a quick break. We will be back, though, with some screening news and the interview with Felissa Rose here on
deadpit.com.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Junior, from the Horror Newsletter. And I started a new band over here with my buddy Wally. Say hey, Wally.
Howdy.
Our new band is Junior and Wally's Rock for Your Party. That's the name of it. Anyway, here's our brand new song about the Horror Newsletter. Hit it, Wally. Baby, I'd watch some horror that my pad be crazy, but now something that's even better. I feed my dog, her name is Daisy, and I watch new horror, goddamn it, shit. But I know I read a horror newsletter. Triple W dot horror newsletter. I come. My name's Junior, and there's my buddy Wally.
Howdy.
Give us $20, and we'll rock for your party. That's a horror newsletter.
We're back here on www.deadpit.com, and what a better way to come back to the show than with some fresh Ooey Bowl news.
Ooh-wee.
What's amazing to me about this Ooh-wee. Is that Ooey has decided he's not going to go back into the video game horror, you know,
he's taking a little
market
break.
And he's actually got a new film coming out called Seed. And mind you, this is not The Seed, which is the remake to The Hidden, which I've already bitched about enough. This is an original project, actually, that he has in the works, and it concerns a serial killer by the name of John Seed, which that's incredibly original.
Is Chuck Norris in it?
I wish he was. If he was, it'd be the greatest film ever.
For some reason, when I hear the name John Seed, that sounds like Chuck Norris.
It does sound a little bit Norrisy, doesn't it?
Mm.
But no, I don't think he's in
it. Damn it.
But anyway, he survives being electrocuted in the electric chair on death row, and he's supposed to be buried alive, too. He survives that, which reminds me of a film called Shocker that Wes Craven did like 15 years ago, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Uwe Boll's latest attempt at doing anything credible, which I'm sure will fail.
Yeah.
Onward.
Honestly, though, talking about Uwe Boll again for a second, and breaking off of our tradition to basically kiss Uwe's ass just because it's fun.
It is. Because he's Uwe.
He's Uwe. Honestly, though, how does Uwe Boll get his films in theaters? Have they ever made any money? Have we ever looked that up?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I would about guarantee that House of the Dead made money. And probably
what about Alone in the Dark or Blood Rain?
I don't think Blood Rain made any money. And
I'm sure
it is a good question.
What kind of draw would Alone in the Dark have? Tara Reid?
Yeah, I guess.
Christian Slater?
I guess that would be the draw.
Yeah.
Uwe Boll, boy, that the name, I mean, that just screams greatness. I mean, what do you want?
A new film by Uwe Boll.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to talk with him, and he seems to be a really nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little...
He's a little bit hopper.
Yeah, he's a little angry, too.
Yeah, he
seems like a pretty good German fella. So, we've got some screenings that's coming up. And here's a film that I wanted to talk a little bit about just because I think it's freaking awesome. The idea is hilarious. Pot Zombies.
That's right. He said it. Pot
Zombies. Here's a little short plot synopsis. Radioactive weed turns people into zombies with the munchies for human flesh.
That's just great. I mean, what more do you want, really, from a zombie movie?
Yeah. If you want to check out pictures, and I've got the poster up on deadpit.com's message board, you can go back over there and look at it, and it looks unbelievable. And I've actually seen a trailer to it, too. You can go check that out if you want to at myspace.com/potzombies. And as far as I know, that's the only site that there is for that film. But anyway, Austin, Texas, if you're anywhere near Austin, tonight, February 24th, at 8 p.m., it's at room 710 Red River. That's all the info I got. I hope you all know where that's at if you're in Austin, Texas. And also, our buddies over at Metropole NYC have a screening on February 27th. It's a Monday, of Toby Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Admission is free with a one-drink minimum. And for more information, go to metropolenyc.com.
I'm right there. We'll be
we was
there.
In New York, man.
We was anywhere except this shit. We'd be seeing a lot of horror movies.
Unfortunately, we can't. There's nothing that happens around here except for NASCAR. People sitting
flea
out
market.
In town looking at their tires and things.
We've got flea markets and yard sales.
Yeah, we've got flea markets that we can enjoy that crap.
Anyway, I want to mention two things before we get off the news subject. The first one being is that the new Guillermo del Toro film, which is called Pan's Labyrinth,
right.
All the concept art, or most of all the concept art, is up at ain'titcoolnews.com. So if you want to see, like, the storyboards and stuff for that film, which will be his new horror film coming out, You can go to www.aintitcoolnews.com. Check that out. Second thing I want to mention is last week I reviewed a movie called, well, we both reviewed it, called First Session, which was the short film.
The Office Killer movie.
Yeah, by Lonnie Martin.
Right.
And he sent me an email that said that in the next couple of weeks he'll actually have that movie up on the website, www.firstsession.com, free for download and to view.
You definitely want to check that out, too. I mean, it had some really cool shots in it. Some good cinematography, and we definitely need that today.
It's only a 20-minute film, so you know it wouldn't be that much download.
So all the Sleepaway Camp fans,
you're the time, for a treat.
The time has come. We actually did this interview probably about 2 weeks ago.
We did
a phone interview with Felissa Rose. And we can't thank her enough for doing it. I mean, she was one of the nicest people that I've ever talked to, you know, on the phone for an interview.
So, I can't really kiss her ass enough because she was just really great about the whole thing. Yeah.
But here's the interview. We've rambled enough here on DeadPit.com with Felissa Rose.
We're going to start off with, were you a fan of scary movies when you were younger? And what are some of your favorites?
No, I was terrified. I was so scared when I was younger. I was a big chicken. It wasn't until I was older that I could really appreciate them, you know.
Yeah.
And I started watching them because my husband is a fan. And now I just love them. I watch several, you know, a week. And you wanted to know some of my favorites? Is that what the second part was?
Yeah.
I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That is, like, I think the all-time. I think that's the beginning of, like, the real scary, terrifying, you know, coming at you with
it
a chainsaw. Right, exactly. I mean, that stuff is the scariest when it's real, you know. So that and The Shining always stuck with me as being, like, one of the scariest.
Well, how did you get involved with film? Because if I'm not mistaken, you were 13 when you did Sleepaway Camp, so.
I was,
that's pretty young.
That is pretty young.
Yeah.
I think from when I was real young, I wanted to, you know, do what all little girls want to do, sing and dance and act. So my parents got me into, like, an acting school. And then I just started getting involved with a local manager who got professional auditions. And by the time I was, like, 10 or 11, I was doing commercials. And then Robert Hiltzik, the director of Sleepaway Camp, was looking for a young girl. So the manager sent me out to meet with him, and, you know, there you have it. It's like, that was the beginning of the craziness in the horror genre.
Did you get to read the script before?
I don't think I hadn't, right? You were just thinking it, and I totally agree with you. Yeah, actually, myself and my parents had to read it, you know, because it's it should have been rated X, right? So, we read the script, and it just, I guess, you know, when you're not really seeing like the blood and the guts, and you're just kind of, you know, seeing it on page, it didn't look that horrific. It just kind of looked like almost meatballs with some horror stuff attached to it, you know, like a fun camp movie. And then at the very end, they told me that I would have really nothing to do with it. They'd get someone to portray, you know, the young boy body. Uh-huh. And we just said, okay, that's cool, you know. And off to camp we went. And it was a whole lot of fun. I mean, nothing crazy went on, you know, except I guess when we saw it in the theaters, that's when we realized, this is sick.
What was it like working with all the cast? Did y'all get along pretty well?
Oh, I mean, I'm still really tight with a lot of the people involved, you know, with that film. We were really close. Any time that you're on, you know, a film set for a long period of time, you become family, you know. We were all passionate, you know, actors, and the whole crew was so into it. You're eating, sleeping, breathing 24/7 together, so it's you know, it's a big love fest. And as I said, to this day, I'm really close with a lot of the people. So it's, you know, it was a huge part of my life, to say the least.
Well, that's great.
What
was the experience like watching the movie in theater for the first time?
It was pretty surreal. I mean, I remember I was sitting kind of in the back. The movie theater was packed with a lot of my classmates, believe it or not, my eighth grade class. I had my parents with me and my brother, and it was weird. Just, you know, watching yourself, I think, is just a strange experience to begin with. And I was a kid. I think the end really did freak me out. I went, wow, that is creepy. You know, I didn't know what it was going to look like. You never know what the turnout will be. So it was definitely, you know, a wild experience. But my poor brother to this day says he was teased for being the, you know, he's the brother of the chick with the dick.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine watching that with an eighth grade, your eighth grade class, the ending especially, you know.
I think more people were scared of me than kind of laughing at me. You know what I mean? They were like, I don't want to laugh at her. She's crazy.
Yeah.
So it was, but in the end, it was all good. I mean, like, you have to have a sense of humor about it. To this day, I get a big kick out of it when somebody says, oh, my God, you were in that movie? Yeah. It's funny.
How do you feel about the hardcore fans and all the sites they have to do? I mean, you kind of become like a cult icon.
I mean, I think it is so amazing, and I appreciate every single one of the... I hate the term fan because it derives from fanatic.
Yes.
And I think they're more like just because they're the best people in the world. And I meet people who really like horror movies and, you know, Sleepaway Camp and... they're just the coolest people because they're passionate about something. It's like a hobby, a part of their life, and I respect that, you know. I can't get over that people still remember the film. I'm baffled by it. It's so kind. Like, it's really cool. What's that?
So it's kind of hard to forget.
Yeah, I guess it is, I suppose, you know. How many chicks with dicks are there out there? I don't think many. But they're really, I've made a lot of really good friends. Look, I married a fan. I mean, my husband is, the way we met is because he started emailing me. He was a fan.
And your husband, of course, Darren Miller.
My husband is Darren Miller. Yeah. He's the singer and guitarist of a band called CKY. And, you know, we have an amazing marriage. We're both huge fans of horror movies. He really got me totally hooked on a lot of the slashers. And we have the most amazing, of course, little girl in the world, Bianca. And it's all because of Sleepaway Camp.
<That's pretty amazing.
laughs> So one day she's going to grow up and, you know, people say she's going to go to a sleepover and someone's going to say, I got a movie that your mom is in, you know, and I'm going to be terrified. I hold people really near and dear who are, you know, who are into the films and go to the conventions. They're good people.
Okay. We received some questions regarding your status on the sequels of Sleepaway Camp. Why did you not reprise the role of Angela?
Oh, did somebody say that I hadn't? No. I haven't said yes or no about anything. And the reason is because... you know, it's the excitement of not knowing, and let's put it this way. I'm dancing around this because I don't want people to go in there thinking I am in it, and I don't want people thinking I'm not in it. I am sort of looming around, let's put it that way, in this film, in Return to Sleepaway Camp. And it's a totally twisted movie, and I don't think the excitement of the first one would have been had the audience already known what the ending was. Am I correct? I mean, what do you think?
Right.
I think the excitement is not really knowing. You know, is Angela showing up? Maybe Angela isn't. To be honest with you, I'm a little confused right now myself. It's so twisted, and Robert shot it in such a way that I think the cast and crew, we were all kind of confused. So it's going to be a great surprise. Yeah.
Well, have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp 2 or 3 before Return to
Sleepaway Camp? Oh, yeah.
What did you think about the movies?
I think they're great. I love that kind of humor in a horror movie. And I think I'm a huge Pamela Springsteen fan. I think I would just like collapse if I ever met her.
She really did do a good job on those movies, I thought.
She did. She's amazing. And I would love to meet her one day. She seems like the coolest woman. I really respect her. And I think the films are great. I've had lunch with Michael Simpson, and he's a really nice man. You know, I've said I would love to work with him if he ever had anything in the future where we collaborate. But the films are terrific. And, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff out there where, like, people say I hate the sequels, or that there's, like, this rift between the first one and the sequels. That's all BS. There's no such thing. Especially the people who are making the movies, we think it's all fun, you know. We're feeling lucky that we're getting to do what we want to do. So any kind of controversy that's out there is created by people who are not involved,
yep.
You know, who have no idea what's going on. Because yes. We're just one big family, and everybody is really cool. I mean, and if there was somebody who was a jerk about it, well, I'd probably have to kick his ass, though.
I don't know if you remember the documentary Something to Scream About.
I know it very well. I love Jason Paul Collum.
That's one of my favorite documentaries about the horror business and stuff.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. I mean, thank you from all of us. That was a really cool, you know.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Brink Stevens, too, so, I mean.
Oh, I am, too.
I was just wondering if you were actually friends with any of the Scream Queens, I guess you would call them, that.
I'm friends with everyone in that film. I mean, not on a basis where we, like, are going out to lunch every day, but work-wise, you know, I've gotten a chance to work with Debbie Rashan. I've gotten a chance to work with Brink. I absolutely love Deborah DeLiso and I. I mean, she's come over to my home. Denise Duff is incredible. Ariana, I saw recently at a convention. We're all friends because we all have this in common. Unfortunately, schedules are so busy. People with families, work, you know, conventions, flying all over to do films. It's hard to maintain any, you know, constant friendship. But I'd say we're all like a sisterhood, you know. It's a cool group of women.
Okay.
Yeah.
You made your feature-length return to horror films in Dante Tomaselli's 2002's Horror.
Yes.
How were you first contacted to get back into acting?
I've never dropped it. I was always living in New York doing theater, you know, to keep that part of myself alive. But I knew I wanted to get back into film, and, you know, I did a short called Birds of a Feather with a wonderful filmmaker named Terrence Smith. He was also living in the area. I was living, you know, Long Island, New York. And then I decided, okay, you know, if I see an audition for something, I'll go for it. And I heard about Dante's film, and I wrote him a letter and sent him a headshot. And, you know, fortunately for me, he had heard of Sweet Boy Camp and knew of me. And he said, I have this part, and I'd love for you to do it. And we've been really, I don't even want to say, like, best friends. We're like soulmates. I don't know where one begins and the other ends. We hopefully will continue to work together for as long as we can because, you know, we just have a wonderful, you know, kinship, and it's just fantastic being on a set with him. He's the best director I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
And I've worked with amazing directors, so that's, you know, he's my top guy.
Yeah, he's definitely got a following. You know.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You're doing also with him Satan's Playground, which has still not been released, I don't think, and The Ocean
right.
is the other one, right?
Yes. The Ocean, we could be leaving for Puerto Rico any day now. You know, with independent films, it could happen. He's kind of waiting. He's doing pre-production and whatnot, and it takes time because we are shooting in Puerto Rico. So I'm kind of just waiting to leave to go shoot that. And Satan's Playground was, I'm so excited, picked up by Anchor Bay. So that will be perhaps released limitedly, theatrically, and if not, definitely out on DVD. In fact, they're working on it right now. I even saw it on the Fango site. It will be released, I believe, in May of 2006, coming up. You can just keep checking the Anchor Bay site or Satan's Playground, the movie site, because, you know, it'll give the release date. And it will be more informative because sometimes I have a brain, you know, problem because I have a child now.
Yeah.
I can't remember everything.
I was going to ask, though, since you've done three movies with Tomaselli, Horror, Satan's Playground, The Ocean, is there anyone in particular that you would consider your favorite? Or?
Well, we haven't done The Ocean, so I will, you know, it's kind of jury's out on that. But and I just had a cameo in Horror, so I really only worked one day, which was amazing. Satan's Playground was incredible. I mean, you know, there's not, all I want to do is act, and there I am, you know, on a set for weeks, you know, in Jersey, freezing cold, getting to do what I love, like running around like a nut from, you know, this crazy Jersey Devil. So it was, and I get to work with Ellen Sandweiss from The Evil Dead, and Ed Neal, and Irma St. Paul, and Christy Sanford, and Danny Lopes, and Sal, who played my husband, and it was just incredible. Great. I wish I could. All of a sudden, I'm like at the Golden Globes naming like the casting crew. No, the truth is, you work with the greatest people, and you want to give credit to everyone for being amazing.
I was actually going to ask that question if you, there's anybody in particular that you like to work with on those films. So I know you work with Ed Neal and you know, Brink Stevens and Linnea Quigley and a few other people.
I'd love to work with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah. I imagine so.
She's my, you know, all-time favorite. I just adore her. And I hope to either work with Adrienne Barbeau or Margot Kidder on, you know, The Ocean. Judith O'Day, she's another one who I'm going to get the chance to work with on The Ocean. And you know, she's another friend. I've interviewed her for my show Screamography on Fangoria TV. Mm-hmm. So, good people. Tiffany Shepis is another one I just worked with her on Sludge, and she's a very good friend of mine. She's a new mom as well. So we call each other, do you have a pediatrician? And I spoke to her yesterday. Her daughter has an ear infection. Mine just got over one. It's so funny, you know. It's like, it's cool.
Is Moth to a Flame still in the works?
No, Moth to a Flame was something that I actually did work on, and then the director dropped it, and then he was angry with the whole situation. I'm not really even sure why, so he kind of dropped the ball, and apparently he's going to try to pick it up and do it, but with none of the people involved, like myself, Reggie, Ed Neal, my husband, we're all kind of just, you know, letting him do his thing. We're not involved at all.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened. Bad blood right now, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, not at all. I hate getting involved in any drama like that, but I have to say that was bizarre. But whatever. Good luck to him.
Yeah. What's the latest on the Return to Sleepaway Camp? When is that going to be released? Or?
That is an excellent question. No, I just heard that they... Yeah, and I'm always saying I just heard, but
yeah.
I just got an email from Jeff Hayes, who is the amazing webmaster of SleepawayCampMovies.com. I always have to say hi to Jeff because he's part of the reason why I'm actually even around. I mean, he contacted me in 2000 to say, hey, there are websites about you, and let's bring Sleepaway Camp back and do Return. He's an amazing person and a great filmmaker himself. And he... was telling me that they're finishing up the CGI or whatever, you know, had to be done. I think they had a little problem. I know everything's okay financially. There was word on the street that it was rough, but I think it's okay. And, hopefully this summer, this fall, we're going to have it out in theaters or on DVD. Whatever's meant to be, I hope it's, you know, it's seen because it's a cool flick.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to that for a while now. I mean, I know it's been...
Yeah. I have too, you know. That's where I met my husband, so it's kind of like that's our little love fest on that set.
Another director we're sort of friends with from the show was D.T. Carney.
Oh, my God, Dana. Yes,
yeah.
That's another one of my favorites. Yeah, Dead Things.
You're going to work with him in Dust to Dust, and you've already done Dead Things, I believe. Can you tell us a little about those movies? And
sure. Dead Things is, you know, we worked on that about a year ago, and I haven't even seen it. I know he's finishing up, but we shot that where, I don't even want to give it away. Brink and I play sisters, and she's a witch, and I get abused by a boyfriend, and my husband plays the boyfriend's friend, and he does a great acting job in it. And that's going to be coming out soon. Dust to Dust, haven't read the script yet, but I hear it's terrific, and I'm just really excited to work with Dana again. He and his wife Georgia are two of the coolest people on the planet. They're really, really fun. Really fun.
I'm too much like James Lipton on you right now, but I was just going to ask, are there any experiences that you remember?
That's so funny that you say that. Isn't he inside the actor's studio?
Yeah.
That's funny. funny. One of the people that we work with at Fangoria TV worked on that show.
Oh, really?
And I love it. I think it's so, as corny as he is, it's some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty addicted to that show myself.
I love it.
Just curious if there are any experiences on any of your movies that you remember vividly that stand out.
Any experiences that stand out? Wow, there's a whole bunch. Like, what kind of experiences?
Either
people
really
running around
really
naked in the hotel room.
Yeah.
What's that?
Something really odd that you remember.
Well, Ed Neal and I got really hurt on Satan's Playground, where it was like we were so in the middle of doing the scene where he has me tied to a pole in the basement, and he has this crazy-ass machete, like, where he's ready to cut me up. And Ed and I are so close as friends that we were just trusting each other. But when you're in that kind of situation and it's dark on the set anyway, we both went to lean. I think we went to lean down. We both put our heads down, and then we kicked it up. And his, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I got knocked in the face so bad that I started bawling. I was hysterically crying. And the sound guy is only listening to it, and everybody's yelling, cut, cut, you know, Dante and the crew. And the sound guy's like, why? This is the best take. She's hysterical. They're like, no, she's really hurt. And so they, like, called cut, and I had to go and, you know, like, sit in a van and cry and put ice on. Because you're so emotional in these films. You know, it's kind of like it bleeds into real life. It's not like, cut, okay, I'll stop, you know, being upset. You're kind of emotional afterwards, you know?
I would imagine Ed Neal probably gets into roles pretty handy.
Oh, he's terrifying. He's so brilliant. He's terrifying. He really is. And I just interviewed two of the stars of Final Destination 3.
Oh, really?
In fact, it's going to be on the Fangoria site, FangoriaTV.com.
Yeah.
And they said the same thing. They were like, we were, you know, pretty messed up after it. I mean, you get a little blue, a little depressed, a little weirded out from this kind of stuff, that, you know, when you throw yourself into the work.
Well, is there any other, do you have any other projects besides, you know, I know that you named a couple of new movies you have coming out.
The Ocean, Slaughter Party's out now. I have to say hi to Chris Watson, who's awesome, and I'm going to tell him to listen to this because he did Zombieheddon and Slaughter Party, and he's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And he lives out here in L.A. He's a good friend of mine. Fangoria TV, a lot of good stuff going on. We've got the FangoCon in June, the beginning of June, and Fangoria TV has been letting me go see the premieres of some great films, and then I get to interview the people. Like, I got to see Doom and interview The Rock, and now I just saw Final Destination 3, which is fantastic. I really liked it a lot.
Amazing.
It comes out Friday. The death scenes are so cool. I can't even tell you. Oh, my God. It's good. I didn't think they'd be as graphic and gruesome. They're pretty. They're really out there.
Well, the second one was pretty graphic, so I figured, I was hoping they'd try to top it with the third one.
Yeah. He's cool, James Long. So go have a great time seeing that. And that's all good. Everything, you know, everything else is, I think, going well, you know. The horror genre is thriving, and that's it. The only thing I could really say is go check out An Answer Can Be Found, CKY's album, because that's kick-ass.
Okay.
A little plug for my husband.
Yeah, no,
you know? I miss him so much. He's out on tour right now, so, you know, it's hard.
I guess that is kind of hard, I would.
Yeah, in fact, I'm sitting here listening to, do you ever watch Viva La Bam or Jackass?
Oh, yeah.
I've got Chris Rabb, you know, Rabb himself, watching my baby. So by the time I go check my kid out, she could be flames or running around. Like, you know.
It could punk you or something. You better watch that
game. Yeah, I'm getting punked in the house right now. So it's all fun.
Okay. Again, we just want to thank Felicia for the interview. And, you know, everybody keep an eye out for Return to Sleepaway Camp, which is supposedly going to be out sometime this year. And I also wanted to make sure you all check out Felissa's new website over at Felissa/Rose.com. She's got a brand new website, and it's one of the best sites I've seen, actually.
Yeah, it's a really good site.
And you can actually order autographed pictures and stuff like that. And I'm actually going to order one just because, you know, I'm a huge fan.
She really is like a big idol of mine, and it was just amazing to me that she would be that nice about everything. It's people like that, you know, when you interview them, that make it killer to be involved in the horror.
Yeah, and you can really tell, you know, that she was enthused about everything. I mean, she was great. So, I guess we can talk about what we're planning on doing next week now, though.
Yeah, the big surprises and twists.
What we're going to do for next week is going to be something sort of different. I know we've had interviews for, what, about 6 straight weeks now?
We have.
If that, I don't know, more than that maybe. But we're going to have something that's going to be, I think Dr. Mwamba mentioned it last week.
He did. He was the inspiration for this idea, actually.
Yeah.
He sent us an email that said something to the effect of, why don't you do a show about horror films that don't let many people know about?
Yeah. So we think that we know enough about horror films that we could come up with a list and tell you a little bit about the films. So we're going to have that segment next week. That's going to replace the usual interview segment, but I will promise you that 2 weeks from now, we're going to have an interview, and it's possibly one of the bigger names we've ever had.
And here is a special hint
about
who it might be. Take it, creepy.
We will say that who we're going to have in 2 weeks is a master of horror. Okay, he was involved in the Masters of Horror series. And we will not tell anyone any more than that. Nobody else knows about this.
Nope.
So, you know, you can begin your ramblings on who you think it could be. Could it be Toby Hooper?
It might.
Could it be Stuart Gordon?
Could be.
Could it be Dario Argento?
No, it couldn't be him.
No, I'm not even going to tease you there. We can't talk to him. But it could be anybody that directed any of the Masters of Horror. Okay? So, with that, though, we've got some fan stuff to talk about here. And just some notes, some random notes. So, you go ahead, Uncle Bill.
This is from the forum. And it says, and this question is, like, incredibly hard for me. It says, which horror film do you think is the best horror film of all time if you had to pick between two? And the two that it was given as the choice was Halloween and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, shit. That's like, I don't know, that's like apples and oranges right there. That's like trying to pick between, like,
They're two definitely
tits and ass.
Completely just different films that both serve a purpose for horror. But I'll have to say Halloween.
And I don't know. I guess I'd say Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If I was going on, the question is, the best horror films of all time.
But you talk about, all right, we'll discuss this a little bit since we don't have a lot of news to talk about. When you talk about just the style of the movie itself, Halloween and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
that's two completely different styles. That's, like I said, it's like apples and oranges.
Yeah, but there are certain things in the movie that are the same, such as you don't know much about the killer. You don't know why they kill. From Leatherface.
Well, I'll put it this way. In Halloween, there's a little bit more of a backstory.
A little bit, but you don't know what made Michael kill, which you later sort of, they try to tell you, the curse of Thorn or some bullshit like that.
That's part 6.
We don't pay attention to that, okay? You don't know why the purpose is, why do they kill? You don't see a lot of graphic violence in the movie, either movie. Okay.
Nope.
You don't see a lot of blood.
Which is, you know, a lot of people think Texas Chainsaw Massacre is gorier than all hell, but there's actually not.
There's not any gore.
There's one scene of gore in that whole movie that I think it was when Leatherface drops a chainsaw on his leg, and that's not even like.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually, But those two movies, probably the best two horror films of the 70s, in my opinion. But I would pick Halloween just because it's all. See, Halloween's just one of those movies that I watched when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I've seen it so many times that, I don't know, that'd just be the one I'd pick.
I don't know why it is.
It's not like, I'm not saying I like it any better or any worse, it's just, you know.
That is an impossible question. I'm sorry, that's a fucking impossible question to answer, like, because those movies are just way too different from my point of view to say which one would be, like, the ultimate horror film, because they both have an amazing cast of, like, completely believable characters.
Yeah.
One of them I think is a little bit more stylistic, which would be Halloween, and the other one's more like guerrilla, like camera style, which would be
I don't know. Texas Chainsaw Massacre was pretty stylistic, too.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre shots looked like a damn snuff film. That's what I'm saying. It's more like...
Yeah, but some of those shots, like my favorite shot of the movie is when Terry McMinn's character, Pam, gets off the swing and goes toward the house.
Oh, yeah. They had the big up shot of the house.
That is one of the coolest shots ever in horror film.
Yeah, that is a good shot. I'm just saying, that would be almost possible. But if I was forced to choose, I would choose that movie just because I think it was... Well, shit. Halloween was probably more influential to slashers, but I think, in general, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was more influential to horror.
Well, it's definitely... Texas Chainsaw Massacre probably had more rip-off movies for it. Honestly.
But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, what else do we have fan-wise? We don't have much.
No, we don't. I think some, mostly just bitching and stuff like that. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, that reminded me, bitching. I was going to forget about this.
I was praying you would forget about it.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to get too upset here. But the shows that we had some complaints that the show wasn't going to, you know, they wanted it up early in the morning and all this stuff on the site. The show won't be up early in the morning ever.
Basically because CK's not up early in the morning ever. That's
well, basically because CK is also editing the fucking show until 2 o'clock in the morning.
This is a tender subject, Liam. You don't want to get him riled up on this subject, I can tell you.
Just, all right. The thing is, if I didn't edit the show wouldn't be finished.
That's right, and we all know that he's a completionist and a perfectionist at heart.
I like for the show to sound as good as it can with all of our crappy equipment that we got here.
This equipment's top-notch. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, though, we wanted to mention, too, that our friend Scott Goldberg, he wanted me to mention this on here. Bloody Disgusting has an interview with him. Up, I think it's up this weekend, actually. If you go over to bloodydisgusting.com, and he actually gave us a shout-out on that site, so I thought that was really cool.
That's pretty amazing, though.
And we're going to take a short break now. But up next, we got, after the break, we have a short soundbite with a star from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel.
And you do not want to miss this. This is an exclusive to the Dead Pit site.
Yeah, this is an exclusive soundbite we have. We won't even announce who we have until you hear it. So, and after that, we have the DVD reviews, and then it's it for another show. So, we will be back here on DeadPit.com.
This is Uncle Bill from www.deadpit.com. We're sending out a request to all independent horror filmmakers to send movies if you would like them to be screened and reviewed on our show.
You can send them to deadpit.com, 1033 South Highland Avenue, Prestonsburg, Kentucky, 41653. And while we can't guarantee a quick review, we can guarantee a review either on our show or on our website at some point. So check us out, www.deadpit.com.
All right, we're back here on www.deadpit.com. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, it's an exclusive short interview soundbite with one of the stars of the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre
prequel.
This is
awesome, too. This is a real privilege to talk to this guy.
Yeah, I couldn't believe we got this guy to do this, but, you know, it's amazing. And we're going to let you listen to it right now. So here you go. We're here at www.deadpit.com with former Leatherface and possible future Jason Voorhees, Andrew Bernowski. Mr. Bernowski, what do you think about the current rumors that you could possibly be the next Jason Voorhees in the upcoming remake or prequel?
You'd be a good Jason. You'd be a Leatherface. Jason. And let me buy my skills. Leatherface. Jason. Happy Jason now. 20 pictures, $20 pictures.
Tell us a little bit about how you approached the role of Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
Leatherface! I piss my pants! Leatherface! Booyah, boo, Leatherface!
Do you think that you'll have a good standing position for the role of Jason Voorhees in the upcoming Friday the 13th film.
Jason! I love Jason movies, Jason Voorhees! Happy Jason! Happy new Jason Voorhees!
How do you feel about the portrayal you've gotten in the last several movies where you've played a murderer or some kind of villain?
Best in the place ever! Jason, gonna be Jason now, and it's gonna be Jason! I love movies, I piss my pants, and it's the best in the place ever!
Just wanted to thank you very much, Mr. Pernowski. Your interview's been very informative.
Thank you, Dad, put that term, and best in the place ever!
we're back here on DadPitt.com again.
We just really want to thank him for that.
We'd like to thank that he was a very special guest.
He was his really special guest.
But
now it's time for that special part of the show that we always do.
Yeah.
The DVD review section.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to start out with a film that was sent to me. Old CK over here got to review.
I had the privilege of watching this. It must have been like a couple nights ago now or something. It's a little film that Brett Piper was involved in called Cyclops, okay? And it's another one that begins with a bunch of crazy teenagers, and one of them's a little dork that he likes to videotape everything. You know, to get all the – he's starting a video journal of his life for 1 year, right?
Oh, yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. And he was talking to his friend. He's going to go pick up some tapes at the pawn shop. He gets a box of tapes for $10. So they go get the tapes. Then, oddly enough, they go through them all and watch them, and most of them is porn. And that witch completely ruins his credibility there, folks.
Yeah, I've never
nobody
got anything,
gets rid of porn.
I never got anything porn from any pawn shop I've ever been to. Yeah.
There was one tape that they found that was, funny enough, it was supposed to have been recorded in the 1800s. I think it was. Yeah, which is another thing that's so bad. But,
that's great right there, I mean.
Yeah. And it involved a guy with a, I don't know if it was a time machine. It was like a, and which might explain why he had a video recorder back then, too. But
that might, but.
I don't know.
Probably not.
But, yeah, he was speaking all this gibberish in German and all this stuff. And you see, you know, extravagant CG explosions and stuff on there. And you see these giant little freaking bugs and shit. But to end it all quickly.
Please.
They find information about this guy that was on the tape because he announced his name, and I can't remember his name now.
We'll just call him Jim Ed.
Yeah. So they call him. They find his family members, and eventually they find the time machine somehow. And eventually the dork guy with the camera, well, he starts becoming a mad scientist all of a sudden, and, you know, just wreaks havoc, and it's, the movie is shitty. I'm just going to flat out tell you, I know that, you know, Uncle Bill over there got the DVDs from somebody, but I'd avoid it. It's not my type of movie.
Yeah,
it's a little silly if you can't tell.
I mean, I'll be honest.
I was dreading trying to explain this fucking thing.
I'll be real honest with you about this. Like, generally speaking, well, about 99% of the time, me and CK have the same, like, opinion of horror films. So, I doubt seriously if it's worth shit, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It didn't have any gore in it. It had some really laughable, horrible CG in it. So.
But anyway.
Avoid it.
Yeah.
Don't see it.
That being the review, just avoid the damn thing. But the film that I want to talk about is actually, somebody actually sent me this screener. And it was actually a pretty killer film.
Well, that's good. That's a good change.
It is a different. It's a different change.
Right.
And this is a film called Sinners and Saints. And try to explain this movie to you. It's going to be a little bit difficult.
But hey, listen to what I tried to explain. I mean, seriously.
Basically, you've got a priest and a sect of nuns that are more along the lines of something like a assassination squad for demons. And, you know, it's kind of like a it's got an element of like the Matrix in it with the fight scenes, and it's got an element of Reservoir Dogs and a couple of different Tarantino movies with the way that they dress and stuff like that. But the main character in the film is a priest, and he goes around and finds these certain demons and ends up killing them.
Right.
And he takes along with him different nuns each time he goes. The greatest part about this movie is that when during the fight scenes, which are actually pretty like well choreographed and everything too for an independent film, that you can tell is pretty low budget.
Yep.
The nuns like are really hot, and they're wearing the habits and everything. And during the fight scenes, like their tops fall off, and they start fighting in the nude and stuff.
I bet they had some nuns with some fake titties too.
They do. They have some really nice titties on the nuns. Another thing too is it's got like some really good gore in it. Like there's a scene where a demon kicks a guy in the balls and he ends up coughing up his own dick, and he actually coughs it up and the dog eats it. That's
original. Yeah. Is this the movie that has Melantha Blackthorne?
She's actually the main star. She's the head demon in, and she's the director of the film too. And Jason Cavalier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the movie I talked about last week. She was in The Night They Returned, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She was like one of the only redeeming parts in that movie, actually.
But this movie reminds me a lot of like trauma movies, where you've got like it's a basic, pretty thin plot, but you got like a lot of silliness and some pretty good like gore effects and a lot of nudity, tons of nudity.
Yep.
And it's just my kind of film.
It sounds like you can't miss.
You can't miss this film. And the website to go on is robomonkey.net. That's www.robomonkey.net.
Robomonkey.
Yeah, but it really is like as good as it sounds. It's a film about, killer priests, for God's sake. Come on.
Yeah. Here's a movie that I had actually seen before, but this is the first time I'd seen it in a few years. The Bone Setter, which is a Brett Kelly film, and he actually posts on our message board, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, which is another great thing about this.
I was really impressed with this movie, basically just because of the way it was shot, and he had musical elements that were sort of similar to Halloween and things like that. But the movie itself was, and Brett Kelly actually stars in this movie too. He plays a librarian in a small town, and children are being kidnapped. They don't know. Every day there's somebody new coming into the library to put up a missing child flyer. And him and another hot mom, a MILF, I guess you would say, they go on a journey to find the legendary Bone Setter, which, she originally finds in a book in the library reading about the Bone Setter, and he evidently abducted children and kept them locked away somewhere. But the best thing about the movie, to me, is Brett Kelly flat out knows what he's doing when it comes to directing.
So he's the anti-Eli Roth thing.
Yeah, I mean, he can take something, which obviously didn't have a large budget. I don't know what kind of budget it had, but it obviously wasn't a big one, and he made it work. I mean, he took what he had and, had a really great atmospheric film that didn't have any gore in it, really. Didn't have even really any death scenes in it that I can remember, other than like maybe one or two. But I would definitely recommend that. And it's actually in a 4-pack from Brentwood, but I think you can also get it from what other company has that? It's Tempe, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. All his movies come through Tempe, which is www.tempevideo. Is it tempevideo.com? I think it is.
I'm not sure, but I don't think Brentwood has an official site. Yeah. I was just looking on that. That's sort of funny. But again, though, The Bone Setter, you want to check that movie out. I highly recommend it, definitely.
So I guess the next movie that I was going to talk about, and it's actually right now if you want to watch it, I think it's on Showtime On Demand. It's called Corpses. It's got Jeff Fahey, who's in Lawnmower Man.
Corpses.
And it's also got Tiffany Shepis, who is, we already mentioned her before.
I was wondering what the hell happened to Jeff Fahey. I haven't seen him in a while.
Well, yeah. Bad things happen to him. He's not aged very gracefully, according to that film. But this is a zombie movie, and I know you just a minute ago got through saying that there's no real way you can screw up a zombie movie.
Really?
Well, there is, actually. I mean, there's That's one way you can
do it. How the hell could you screw up a zombie movie with Tiffany Shepis in it?
And it's not Tiffany Shepis' fault. I mean, Tiffany Shepis is freaking awesome in the movie. But
yeah, I'm just saying, though, like, how could that happen?
Well,
you know it ain't her fault.
It's just the fact that there's really not that much gore, and that's like one of the key elements in any good zombie movie. The basic story of the movie is pretty good. There's like this guy owns a funeral home, and he's trying to actually raise the dead with a serum, which is a huge ripoff of Reanimator. It's like a green serum and a needle, and he injects into these.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, he injects into his patients, or his patients. I guess it's more like his clients.
Yeah.
And it brings him back to life for like an hour, and he's trying to figure out a way to make the serum last permanently so he can have like this group of undead that'll carry out, you know, his, whatever he wants him to do. And Jeff Fahey is a sheriff in it, and Tiffany Shepis is his daughter, and they try to like help this guy who's like his attendant to stop all this zombies. And it's really, like I said, you have to have a lot of gore for a movie like that to work, and the gore in it doesn't work at all. It's kind of like...
Is there much gore in it?
No, not at all, really. There's a couple of scenes, but like I said, they don't work.
Yeah, one way you can screw up a zombie movie is not have any gore in it.
Yeah, I mean, it does have gore, but it's like that kind of gore where it looks like it was done with, like, cream cheese or something.
Alrighty.
Like cream cheese and corn syrup. It's just not very well, like, special effects. Well,
like,
kind of like Troll 2, but not that good.
Yeah, French onion dip.
Yeah,
gore.
That kind of gore. But, yeah, that's the main reason why that movie didn't work.
So, recommend it, don't recommend it?
I recommend it just because Tiffany Shepis is in it. Hey, like that?
Okay, well, that's a good enough recommendation anyway.
She's worth the price of admission, folks.
The next movie I've got here is a little bit different compared to the normal stuff that we review on here. This is a film that was made... 1978 in Australia. It's an Australian horror film.
Yeah, that's before Undead.
Even really, it's not that much of a horror film. It's got horror elements in it. I'm talking about Synapse's Long Weekend when nature attacks.
Oh, Lord. Basically. I'm not a big fan of those damn nature attacks movies.
Yeah, but I'm a fan of this movie. I'm going to tell you why, too.
Tell me.
Because... Again, it's another one of the movies where the director knew what the hell he was doing. He knew how to film things, knew how to add the creepy music, and it was beautifully shot. I mean, flat out. You had, you know, the Australian sites and stuff wherever. I've never been to Australia. I couldn't tell you. But, I mean, it was really, and what it is it's a couple that their marriage is in trouble or whatever, so they decide to go out camping.
Of course.
And the Australian
wild. That's the main therapy for any couple.
Yeah. I know, like,
camping?
I wouldn't want to go camping around here just because you would have to worry about, you know, rednecks coming and bothering you. Or, you know, you'd have to worry about hearing some guy fuck a pig out there or something.
Deliverance ain't no joke, folks.
But even Australia, man, that's like freaking the animals that are in Australia, you don't want to fuck with them.
That's true.
You know, you got the most deadly snakes out there, spiders. I've watched Crocodile Hunter enough to know, don't go camping in Australia, okay? But these people don't know any better. So they go out camping, and they litter, and they, you know, the guy brings a gun and shoots all kinds of things for no reason. He doesn't eat the duck or whatever he shoots. They just love being mean to the wilderness, and the wilderness strikes back.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you have everything from mosquitoes and ants to, you know, eagles and freaking kangaroos and everything else.
Really? So, kangaroos?
Well, no, not really kangaroos, but it's in Australia. I think you had,
because kangaroos.
What are the possums called over there?
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know, they're called something, but those things attacked. Whatever they are, badgers.
Badgers? We don't need those stinking badgers.
But I like the movie, even though it was a little silly, just because it was directed by Colin Eggleston. Certain directors, you can just tell that they can, you know, they can take chicken shit and make chicken salad out of it. And he was the one that did that. So I would recommend Long Weekend if you just want to see something different. you know, check it out if you're a little bit sick of zombie movies and slasher movies and the normal horror madness that we all like to watch, baby. You check out Long Weekend, if you will. And
I don't know how that segued right into Dusty, though.
Dusty Rolls, baby. Yeah. But you want to check out Long Weekends if you want to have a different sort of experience watching a movie.
I guess the last movie that I'm going to talk about, and I don't even have it with me, but I just want to talk about it because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's Frank Henenlotter's cult classic, Brain Damage. Now,
Uncle Frank.
To give you a synopsis of this film would probably make you want to go see it even more, so I'll just go ahead and do it. It's basically about a guy wakes up in an apartment building one day, and there's a couple that lives underneath him that's making this god-awful racket. He goes down to see what's going on, and in the process, this couple's trying to hide something from him. He doesn't really know what it is, but it's a small, like, parasitic creature that they're keeping in their bathtub, okay?
Uh-oh.
So it latches on
Uh-oh.
To hit the back of his neck, and he takes it back upstairs, and it eventually crawls inside of his spine. And what it basically ends up happening is it starts to inject, like, and there's really some great camera work here when it shows this, too. It injects, like, this venom. It's, you know, it looks like a big turd is what it looks like. But, and it has this, like, mouth that opens up and teeth, and then this, like, long, like, needle-like, you know, striation thing comes out and injects venom into his spine. And every time it injects venom into his spine, he has, like, an LSD trip. So it makes him, like, more dependent on that little, like, parasite.
Okay.
But the best part of the movie is, like, as the film goes on, the parasite comes out and starts talking to him. And you're never, like, really sure if he's hallucinating or if it's really, like, talking to him. But it has a voice, like, it's kind of like Dean Martin's voice. Like, hey, how you doing, Kevin? Like, talks to him.
You guys.
Really, like, suave and stuff.
Come on, get out.
But there's a couple of scenes in this movie. Like, there's one scene where the main actor in the movie, and I forget his name now, but is getting head and from this girl. And she's actually giving head to that little, like, parasite thing that's coming out of his pants.
Yeah.
And it goes through her head and, like, kills her. So there's just scenes like that. Plus just the whole fact that the thing, like, squirts acid into his brain and it slowly, like,
who came out with a DVD to that, anyway?
Synapse. That's a Synapse film.
Yeah, we love Synapse, by the way. I just wanted to say that. They come out with another film. We're going to talk about more of these in detail, but I'll mention another one they come out with recently. It was called Street Trash.
Oh, God.
That's a whole other thing. We'll mention that stuff next week, though. I mean, it's... are there any other DVDs that you have?
I don't have anything else I want to talk about. But just keep in mind that, like, all these DVDs that we mentioned this week, it's been a pretty good week for, like, DVD watching, as opposed to last week, which was completely shitty.
Yeah.
But
we had some good movies to talk about.
Yeah, you should actually probably, like, definitely go see Brain Damage. And I definitely would recommend, too, that you actually, like, go on the Robo Monkey site and check out Sinners and Saints.
Yeah, and Brett Kelly, who did the Bone Setter, definitely support his movie, too. He's got one coming out, My Dead Girlfriend, we've mentioned on here before, but I guess until next week, we will see you
at the theaters.
At the theaters.